All right.
Captain Doan, report to the bridge.
Doan. James Doan.
Where is 006.9 now?
He's on a mission, sir.
Do you expect me to talk?
An excellent plan, Mr. Doan. Look out, James!
Let me try and enlarge your vocabulary.
Oh, hey, my drink!
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Choose your next witticism carefully.
I want to be covered in drugs.
One day we must invent a faster working venom.
Yeah!
They cannot counterfeit gold.
The only gold I know about is the kind you wear.
Every law is backed by bullets.
Bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Doom, I like that.
James!
That is the best intro. That's, you know, every time I listen to that, I get more out of it.
It's chock full, but we got a new one coming up here. We're working on it right now.
January 16th, 009.
Exactly.
Hope you made it. Mm-hmm. We've made it.
If you're listening to this program, you made it.
That's right. That's right. Congratulations.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show.
Only 3 more years till the apocalypse.
Hey, that's right. It's December 12th, right? 2012?
Something like that, yeah.
2012.
Hey, so, I'm starting to get a little nervous myself.
Let's see. Maybe we can get it done before then.
Well, they're trying.
They don't give up.
I never give up. Have you noticed, of course, that today's the 16th.
You're still thinking they're voting for Hillary.
Let me tell you, it ain't over yet. You notice, he ain't president yet. So I'm still in the game.
Just a few more days.
We'll see. I haven't lost the bet yet.
That's right, Jimmy. Never give
up. I'm still in the game.
Now, I mean, does it count if she gets in like 2.5 years? I mean,
yeah, that counts. Actually, that does count. But there are some people. Let me tell you. So anyway, there are some people that have said that my cutoff date was November or whatever the election was.
Right.
And so okay.
I
am moving the bar constantly, and right. I am now only 4 days away from a small bar.
Right.
And you see if you can get under this man.
Jimmy Doan is always right around the corner from the curve.
Hey, we want to thank...
No, I mean always ahead of the curve.
We want to thank some of our repeat listeners here from Calgary.
Those
listener.
That are still left after 2 months.
Thank you, guys.
But at least we're ahead of the hangar dog.
Vacation.
Ah, yeah. Oh, burn.
Hey, there's European in us. That's why we take a month or two off every year. Come on.
That's right.
You gotta rejuvenate.
Recuperate. Alberta, Calgary, Canada.
Alberta.
Repeat the Canucks. There. Yeah.
All right.
And Monroe, Michigan. Nice
Michigan.
Place.
Well,
thanks to Patty and...
not much to say about Michigan, but thanks for listening.
Teotihuacan,
and
Ian Freeman
and
is,
Will from Indy.
Yep, Will from Indy, and Ian wants us to be
and
on
Ian,
his show.
Yeah, that's right.
Over at FTL, those guys are knocking it down. They're putting out some shows.
Yeah. FTL, I love it faster than light. Free Talk Live. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. FTL Drive, baby.
So anyway, cool. we did get people sending us. Tips, hoping that we'll get back on. And we're here.
We did.
They
wanted to know what they needed to do to get the monkeys to dance again.
Yeah, that's right.
And we are going to admit we're not going to get to all the emails we got in the last 2 months because, frankly, we've forgotten about some of them.
No, I've got them all here. I just don't.
Oh, Jimmy is organized.
Well, no, not organized. They're just all here in a jumble in a pile. I haven't bothered to go through them yet.
Once again,
I didn't
want to
mention. I want to mention a couple places that people need to go. Ann Coulter's column was good this last week or so, and it's really good stuff. She was on, it was interesting, she was on CNBC or MSNBC or one of those shows the other night. I saw her. She's got a new book out called Guilty, which I'm going to have to get a hold of. I think I've got it actually half downloaded on my Kindle. But it is amazing to see how people, I was looking at the comments on one of the websites that, you know, and I'll tell you, there are people that hate that woman. It is unbelievable. And she is... she reminds me a lot in a way of people that hate Rush and so forth, because these are entertainers. I mean, Ann Coulter is a great entertainer. I don't agree with everything she says. She's a religious nut. But other than that, she's dead nuts on the money. And
if she keeps her mouth shut, she's pretty good looking.
Oh, I think she's obviously had some work done, you know.
Oh, really?
I mean on the hair and stuff.
Oh, really?
When she was on the other night, she had redone her hair.
Worked her over or something like that.
No, nothing like that.
I'm sure they have.
The other one,
they
the other
that in the
other,
back room.
The other place that
the hair, not the work, the hair.
I just wanted to.
It's the Jimmy Jones.
She's one of my favorites. Anyway, the other website that I go to fairly regularly, and everybody should go to at least once a day, is LouRockwell.com.
Yeah, he's real good.
And he's got about 10 new things on there almost every day that are, about half of them are absolutely worth reading. And so that's one of the things that needs to do. So anyway, what's new?
Well, U.S. Airways came out with a new amphibious airplane.
I saw that.
Wait a second. It's a new year.
It is
a new year.
And
the inauguration is 2 days from now.
No,
or
it's
four
the 20th.
Days or
well, well, by we the time this gets on the air.
So, yeah, Obama made it.
It was. The
Obama,
inauguration
well,
was yesterday.
Well, he hasn't made it yet, as Jimmy has pointed out, but Obama essentially has made it.
Yeah, but what's interesting is, so have all the Clintons.
Right. He's been the...
the whole Clinton cabinet and everybody's in there.
Right.
I mean, they're all in there. It's just like...
Just
deja
like,
vu
just like old time.
Yes,
yeah.
It is, absolutely.
Well, it's change.
Huh? Yeah, that was the change, right. The change was from George Bush, that's all. We
change,
decided to go back
baby.
To the Clinton
change.
Years.
Change is what I got left in my pocket.
You ain't going to have much
long.
Of that.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
Jimmy,
no, that's
by
all
the
I
way,
got.
And that, I'm just going to talk about this a little bit. Jimmy has finally delved into and bought some gold.
Oh.
What'd you do?
Jimmy's
yes.
digressing. Do
no,
we
no
still
this
have
is
the,
not, no, this is core material.
Do we still
material.
Have digressing music or not?
Look, no, this is core material. I'm telling you.
This is core?
Seriously, because this is what people need to know.
Oh.
What we're dealing with still is something unprecedented in our lifetimes.
That's right. It is totally unprecedented.
In terms of the amount of money that they're spending, do you guys know that this is the same amount of money that they put at risk in the last 2 months? Is more money than it costs to fund the Iraq War plus Korea plus Vietnam.
That was $7.5 trillion.
Yeah.
Something like that.
$7.8 trillion. Listen.
Trillion.
Plus the savings and loan scandal, plus the space race, plus the whole New Deal, the Louisiana purchase, and the Marshall Plan all combined. Okay. That's the amount of money we're talking about that they put at risk in the last 2 months.
We
well,
accept PayPal.
The thing about it is, yeah. Well, they should, I suppose.
Government bailout.
It's not at
JimmyDone.com.
It's not at risk. It's gone.
Well, it's going to be gone because
yeah,
they're
gone.
Not going to not spend it.
No, that's right. Well, they did today, as a matter of fact. The Obama got the go ahead for an extra $350 billion. He can spend the $350 billion. Not
the second $350 billion.
Yeah,
but they've also now passed a new $850 billion
right.
package beyond that. So
right.
We're up to. And again, that's already been spent, basically, is...
$1.5 trillion or so.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And nobody is thinking that it's less than $2 trillion. Now, this is, you have to understand that the wailing and screaming and moaning was a $340 billion deficit several years ago. They were just, it was the end of the world. It was, we were going off the cliff. The cartoons were saying that the Democrats, the Republicans have deserted us. $350 billion deficit. The earth is spinning off its axis and we're headed into the sun. Now it's 5-6 times that amount and you don't hear the wailing. I'm saying, here's the deal. People don't understand. Economics actually is very, very simple. The economics of this is so simple you cannot imagine.
We're pretty numb to it at this point.
Well, that's the problem. That's the beauty. That's what they want. They want you to be numb to it. The deal is there's only two kinds of money. There's the money for current consumption and that's what you spend. And there's money for future consumption, and that's capital, that's savings. That's the only two kinds of money. What they're doing now...
I always thought there was two kinds of money. There's my money and everybody else's.
That's another way to look at it. And then there's green money and not green or whatever. Okay,
all right,
fine.
Continue,
but I'm talking,
Jimmy.
So my point is that what they've done here is they have taken all of the future money and they're spending it now, which means that your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren are already... in debt for more than they can earn. That is to say, what they've done is, and what they're doing is, they're continuing to mortgage the future past the ability of the future to pay. Now, I'm seriously.
How are they doing that?
They are borrowing. That is exactly what they're doing. You can only borrow money from, if you're going to spend future money, there's only one way to get it, and that's to borrow it. That's the only way. And what you're borrowing it from is somebody else's savings.
It's from the children.
Well, it's from somebody else. That it's money that it's money that somebody else has put aside for the future. That's the only way you can get, and you, and what you do is you transfer that money in somebody's savings account. You transfer it into current consumption. So you spend it.
Uh-huh.
That's the only, that, that's the only two kinds of money there are. There's saved money.
So what you're saying is,
so what they've done is they have borrowed money from so far in the future. They have mortgages. So like if you have $1 million house and you mortgage it for $10 million and there's no way you can pay it off. The payments are too high. The interest payments are too high. My point is that within the next 12 to 18 months, we are going to see, for those of people that were alive in 1980, we're going to see a repeat of 1980. And this is when gold went from 200, from 1976 to 1980, gold went from 200 to 800. And the inflation rate went from, you know, 4 or 5% to over 20% on a daily basis. We're going to, we're, they are preparing for this again today. Why don't we, now that the federal government is printing money at a breakneck, the printing presses are hot. When they say hot off the press, they're not getting, they are smoking hot. I mean, the money you're going to get ain't going to be green. It's going to be tinged because it's come off so hot. It's going to be look like a charcoal briquette or something.
The quarters are red hot.
That's right. The quarters are red
hot. Melting in your pocket.
That's right. So anyway, the deal is.
So they're literally just wheeling this cash into banks and just setting it down and walking
it down.
Out.
And what happens is it's not being spent yet. It has to be, and it will be. What is happening right today?
I think I heard a knock at the door.
Can you put a pause on this thing?
Sure.
Okay, guys.
Edit number one.
Again, you pork rind.
No, I can't.
I can. I don't need hooves or tongue or beak or anything.
Lips and assholes.
Lips. Yeah.
The Jimmy Jones Show.
All
Lips
right.
An asshole.
All right, well, now, Jack,
Jimmy,
for those
you
of you who
remember,
are just tuning in here,
hey,
Jack Roach's munchy radar went off.
I just thought about it. Lips and assholes is kind of a good description of the show members here.
What?
Okay. Jack also has some weed so good it deposited on the moon, and he's face down in Neil Armstrong's footprint right now.
This is the last time Jack's gonna be on the show.
That's right, farewell show, like the
farewell.
President, man.
Farewell show.
I'm gonna give a brief little speech here and then I'll peace out, brother.
Jimmy, if you can remember where we left off, it's gonna be the prize of the century.
It's gonna be the bomb.
We Let's started start off again. On gold.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly where it started, where we finished, where we did it. The simple fact is that they have printed up all this money and it's not being spent yet. It will be.
Truckloads of money.
Truckloads of money, trillions literally, yes. Of inflationary money. Now, why hasn't this translated yet to inflation? And the reason is that people do what they do best. They are saving. They realize that hard times is a-coming. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they are liquidating their assets right now, their capital, their current ownership. And you can go on to eBay and Craigslist and all these other places.
Dude,
and you
sales on personal safes right now through the roof. Those big closet safes through the roof.
Okay.
And, everybody.
And we talked
up.
About last time about the ammo and the guns and
ammo.
Everything like that.
Woo.
This is stuff that will retain value, so to speak. But my point is that people are unloading. They're in the process of paying down their debt. And one of the ways they're doing it is they're liquidating. This is one of the things you see in the stock market. The stock market has taken a hell of a hit. And people are, here are stocks, for instance, that were trading at $80, $90 a share, now trading at $40. $30 a share, and they're still going down. And you look at the fundamentals of a lot of those stocks, and they're very good on the surface. They look very good, but people are taking the money out anyway in order to put some cash aside for the future.
They're saying that even though I've lost 30%, 37%, I should take out that remaining cash right now?
I'll tell you, there is a good argument for that, and I could tell you that's what Jimmy did. Jimmy took some took now not all of it.
Oh, that means Jimmy's cash.
No, what Jimmy
cash
did
was, rich
Jimmy
right
did
now,
what
baby.
Jimmy did was to buy some gold because Ooh. That's not going to go to zero. Let me tell you, look at this. You look Ooh. At something like General Motors or even Fannie Mae. Remember, Fannie Mae was guaranteeing half the mortgages in the United States and trillions of dollars of mortgages, right? And Fannie Mae went from $90 to $3.
Oops.
I mean, that's might as well be zero. Okay.
Right.
But gold will never go to zero.
Right.
And right now it's like 850, and okay,
Remember
it might go
Franklin
to 650,
Rains?
Might go to 500, but it's never going to go to zero.
Thanks, right.
Franklin. My point is that when I was talking about this before, during the Jimmy Carter years, from 1976 to 1980, gold went from roughly 200 to, well, actually from $150 to $800. Now, that was in, that was 30 years ago, and that was in that kind of money.
Over what time period?
Over 4 years.
Over 4 years.
It went actually from $100 an ounce to $800 an ounce from 1976 to 1980. Now,
are you sure that wasn't ganja?
edit. No, Colin, this is your first time to actually edit something.
All right, so from $100 to $800 an ounce.
And that was in money that is worth, was worth about a third of what you talk today. It would be the same as going from $300 to $2,400 or something like that. So my point is that at $850 an ounce, my thinking is that gold is horribly undervalued. I would not be surprised that in within the next 12 to 18 months to see gold at $1,500 or $1,600 an ounce. I'm not a bit surprised about that. So Jimmy's decided to take a bet on that, knowing that it can't go to zero.
So this is great. Not only do we take PayPal, now we take gold.
We'll take all you, we'll take all you got.
That's, we appreciate that.
One crew grand would be just
fine. We can
fine.
Split it up evenly here, the old, you know, 90-10, you know, like we always do.
The old 90-10. The old
That so Jimmy Doan
my
show.
My point is that the reason that you're not seeing the inflation at this moment is because people are doing what they do best when times get tough, and that is they're liquidating their things in order to put some cash aside for the future. That's exactly what's happening. They are worried about the future. It is interesting to me that people in the individuals realize exactly what's going on, and for themselves, they're doing what you would normally expect
so,
people to
so
do.
So that's why they're flooding the market with products, which drives the price down,
exactly.
Thus the depression.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So then
that is precisely
and
correct.
Then once the prices get down there...
Once those items are in what they call firm hands, the people that have bought the stuff at the bargain prices and there is no more selling to be done, that's when the money's going to hit the fan. And that's when and I've seen it before. Jimmy has actually lived through this before. And you are going to see what they call stagflation. This is something that could never happen under Keynesian economics. Never happen. And of course, when it happened in 1974, Paul Samuelson, who was the ranking Keynesian at the time, came out and said, he sort of said an oops. What he did is he didn't say oops. He revised his book, the college textbook that had been used since 1948, and he left out the part about PV equals QT or whatever that formula is that was the Keynesian.
Huh? Right, right.
Huh? We'll put a link to it.
A little edit.
Yeah, a little edit. Oh, he edited it and never apologized. Now, the ranking Keynesian today is Paul Krugman from the New York Times. He actually, as I say, anybody that he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Economics.
Yeah, just recently.
Just recently, like in, you know, a couple months ago. And what's interesting, of course, this is the same outfit that awarded Yasser Arafat
right,
the Peace
Prize. Right, I was just going to mention
that. Not only that, interestingly enough, they, in the 70s, they awarded Friedrich von Hayek the Nobel Prize for his work. Knows what he's talking
about. Which is antithetical, I'm sure, to Samuelson's
work. It's exactly the opposite of Samuelson or Paul Krugman.
Right.
Paul Krugman, his idea, believe it or not, this is going to be the last hurrah of the Keynesians. Because what he's saying is that the stimulus plan is not big enough. Need to spend some more money. Mm-hmm. And again, one of the things you realize is if you spend all of your money on current consumption, and the only place you can get that money is from future consumption, that is to say you're borrowing it. It's one thing to spend current consumption earnings on current consumption. That's okay. Then you're not going into debt. But if you spend the future, you're eating the seed corn. The fact is that
what you're saying is that everybody takes their savings and they buy U.S. government bonds, let's say, so that the government can generate this money that it's going to put into whatever work programs or whatever.
Right.
And then as it does that, those people lose all of that money that they would have invested as capital in whatever businesses.
Well, the idea, of course, is the idea, of course, you're supposed to get paid back.
Well, I mean, yeah, they haven't lost it.
They haven't, there was in the future, but the problem is, this has to do with what they call the unfunded liability part, is that if they pay you back with pieces of paper that have extra zeros written them on, like Mugabe money or something like that, then they stole it.
Right.
And that's what they're gonna do. They have to do that. And in fact, what they're doing is today, that's what this $1 trillion or whatever it is that we're talking about in the stimulus package, they are printing that money. That's the money that you will get back. It'll be
worthless money.
Worthless money.
Well, it'll be worth half as much.
Half or a third or a tenth or whatever it is. Now, of course, all kinds of unintended consequences come from this. One of the things is who's the idiot? Who's the sucker
to be
buying the bonds? Well, right now, up until about 20 years ago, it was all, you know, we owed it to ourselves kind of thing, where you could stiff the American people and get away. Now we're in the process of stiffing the Arabs and the Chinese. because what we've done, we've been running this current accounts deficit, and we've been buying oil and paying them with dollars. What are they going to do with the dollars? Well, they could come over here and buy, you know, Rockefeller Center or Iowa or something like that. No, they've been buying our
Iowa.
They've been buying our bonds. And the same with the Chinese. They could come over here, but, you know, they can make everything that we have cheaper. So we, why are they going to buy a Cadillac when they can have a Huayahua for, you know, that does the same thing
right.
for a lot fewer dollars? And so what they do is the only place they can put their dollars is into either they can buy Iowa or Nebraska, maybe.
Right.
If the Arabs already own Iowa.
Not if P-Man has anything to say about it.
That's exactly right. But what they the only place they can stuff their money, the dollars, since the dollars can only purchase dollar-denominated, are bonds. So now they have, you know, $1 trillion, whatever it is.
They buy Las Vegas hookers.
Well, and let me tell you, I've noticed that the price of Las Vegas hookers has risen recently. No, I have. Actually, it hasn't. I spend a lot of time on Craigslist in the erotic section. It is stunning. No, I mean, I always like to go around and see, you know, what is it happen? You know, in Rhode Island, of course, prostitution is legal as long as it's done indoors.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just looking. This is research, is what you're saying.
I ain't in Rhode Island, am I?
But you
would be.
You could be.
He's also researching plane flights.
That's right.
Hey, and hotels.com.
So the point is,
I'm telling you people that are listening to the Jimmy Doan Show, buy gold, get out of your, you know, get out of your stuff. And I would say that if your 401k has already dropped by 50%, don't be surprised if it drops by another 50%. And if it doesn't, it's going to be worth less in terms of the inflation. That is to say, even if the stock, if your stock that went was $50 is now 25 and goes back up to 50 in 2 years, the 50 isn't going to be worth what 25 is, if you get my drift.
Right.
Yep.
So sell and buy some bling, baby.
Yeah.
Buy some bling.
Get a grill.
For the Jack Rhodes listeners out there, let's go ahead and translate
get
this.
Get a grill, man. You got to get a grill.
I was looking at these quotes.
I got to say, let me mention real quick, Jimmy mentioned the prostitution. Did you see that 22-year-old virgin that was, they were auctioning off her virginity?
We talked about that, did she get it?
No, they haven't done it yet, but did you hear it was up to $3.7 million?
Really?
What?
That's what they're saying. That's what they,
wow. She was hoping to get a mill for it.
He says that Bunny Ranch guy says he has 3.7 million bid.
That'll encourage some young ladies.
Is it a guy named Rourke?
No, I'm guessing Mohammed.
Yeah. An old Mohammed is going to come in here and walk
dubla, out, you know.
Oblah-dee-blah-dubla.
Mohammed.
I don't know why Mohammed would do it, because all he's do is, you know, do a little suicide. He gets 72 virgins. I don't understand why he'd pay that kind of money for one. That tells you about their belief.
Right, right.
Yeah. What were you saying, EE, a second ago?
Well, I had a quote from Phil Krugman here in an interview with Bill Mayer on
HBO. Who's this Keynesian guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. He goes, there are no atheists in foxholes, and there are no libertarians in financial crisis. One of his quotes from 2008.
Well, I'll tell you, and this is what you're saying, Jimmy, and this is all going to precipitate because of their plan to fix things. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I've heard a two-prong plan from Obama, and it's half right, if you ask me. I've heard he's going to cut some taxes. Now maybe that's just a nominal thing, something he can say.
I'm guessing not mine.
The little minor problem is if he does cut taxes, they're going to cut taxes on what they call current consumption. This is a capitalist. What has made this country great is capitalism. And capitalism is very simply, you take some of the money, the excess over your current spending, and you invest it in the future. You save it one way or another. That's capital. So if you tax capital, well, for instance, we have capital gains tax. Well, I mean, that's, what are you doing? You know, you're taxing the thing that makes us great, for God's sake. So
how dare you make money?
What they're talking about is raising the capital gains tax and then cutting the tax on, say, current consumption. The way they do that is, they basically give the money on the earned income tax credit to people that are going to go,
earned
quote, spend the money.
Earned income tax credit.
If you don't pay any taxes, but you get a refund or a bonus check.
It's going to be more.
Yeah, that's called welfare.
I know it is. But my point is that is current consumption.
That's the way they're going to cut them?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, if they were to cut taxes, as I understand it, that's the thing to do if you want to – actually stimulate some economic activity. Mm-hmm. But then there's a second prong to that, and that is you have to slash government spending mm-hmm. as well. And you have to cut back heavily on whatever it is that the government is doing.
Well, he's not going to do that.
No. In fact,
well, they've already said, and we just talked about $1.5 trillion so far.
Well, they're doing just the opposite.
Exactly. I mean,
they're going to spend their way out of the recession.
and they're going to find out they can't do it. And this is what's interesting. People talk about this in terms of the what happened during the Depression, which, of course, the Depression lasted for literally a decade because of all the government spending that was done.
Well, and yeah, we'd
like to thank you, Herbert Hoover.
Well, yeah, right. Now, and I want to
really show.
Since you just mentioned that, just on a brief mention of everybody talks about how bad the Depression was, and then they mention Roosevelt and they say how he got us out of that. But it really wasn't him. It was the war. And it was really his policies that kept us in the thing for a long time. You know, you contrast him with, like, Warren Harding or something, who did nothing when the crash came.
Right.
And there was a nice bounce, and then everything reset, and the economy roared through the 20s, basically.
Right.
And of course, it was stimulated by some other stuff.
Well, of course, you have to understand that they had started the Federal Reserve in 1913, and that the Federal Reserve started printing the extra money.
I like how you worked roaring 20s in
there. Hey.
That was nice.
Yeah. No, the deal is, and of course, the only reason the war got us out, you understand, again, remember, during the war, what did people do? They reduced their standard of living to nothing. Their current consumption dropped to zero. They were collecting tin cans for the thing. They were going out, they were rationing. They had, you know, one egg a week. You had a, you know, half a glass of milk. I mean, all this stuff that during the, and you had a victory garden, for God's sakes, you know, so you didn't have to spend any money.
A victory garden.
They were putting all this money into savings,
into
capital. That's right. In other words, they had reduced their standard of living. And if you did that today, we could do the same thing. If everybody wanted to turn off the air conditioner and, you know, basically live like an Indian with moccasins in the woods or something, you know, and cut your current consumption down to eating, you know, some kind of wild roots and, you know, and fornicating with bears or something. Well, whatever. I mean, the pretty ones.
Something cheap, yeah.
The pretty one. It's the Jimmy Dome Show.
So anyway, the point is, if you did that and hence we're not engaged in current consumption, then everything left over would go into future consumption, i.e. savings, i.e. capital. But that's not going to happen.
They built war production machines, you know.
Well, that was a waste. I mean, the fact is, in spite of that, the whole point is, if we had not gone into the war and still reduced our, we would have had more capital.
Right, right.
But the fact is, when you have a war machine, you are spending all this current consumption and then blowing it up. I mean, at least with a VCR, you know, you get to use it for a while before it blows up.
Right.
Or goes obsolete or something like that.
Or like a computer with Vista.
Right.
Oh. War machine. Isn't that a good Black Sabbath song?
The blue screen of death.
War machine?
Yeah, so, War Machine is a Sabbath.
Continue to what you're saying.
So my point is that in spite of the fact that we were taking all this capital, essentially, and blowing it up, destroying it, you know, tanks, bombs, and everything like that, we had restricted our current consumption to such a level that there was still money left over, and that was in the savings bonds and the stamps. Well, of course, all that money came out in 1946 when the war was over, and we had all that money was going very quickly into current consumption and to capital expansion for new cars, new refrigerators, and all this new stuff that was coming online. It took a little while to ramp up, but the fact is the roaring 50s were a product of the late 40s, of all the investment that was done in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You really started to see it balloon because it takes a little while to bring the new stuff online. But like TV sets, for instance, in 1949, they were around. You could buy them all day long, $500 a pop or something like that. But it took a little while for the factories to ramp up. And by 1952, you know, instead of 500,000 TVs, there was, 5 million. I mean, that's how quickly it came on.
Right. Okay. And so you were talking about Hoover's policy.
Hoover, of course, unfortunately, Hoover did the same thing that Nixon did. And that is, he forgot his roots. Nixon came out in 1971, just before they did wage and price controls, which started this whole thing, and said, we are all Keynesians now. He completely lost his way, anchorless, drifted into the wind.
A chicken in every pot.
I mean, he was terrible. And Hoover did the same thing. Hoover was elected on, I'm not going to do anything for, you know, he was the Depression. Black Thursday in October 23rd or whenever it was, 1929, was his 9/11.
Where were you on that date, Jimmy?
I was there.
Okay, I thought so.
I was there.
Former life. So the point is that he, instead of
Jimmy was on the grassy
what he
knoll.
Should have done was nothing. Instead, he panicked and gave up his Republican roots and started all of the New Deal plans before Roosevelt got in. I mean, he actually did a ton of those plans, started spending money like it was going crazy. He was a believer, apparently. He got conned. He got conned the same as Nixon got conned, and he figured that was the way he was going to stay elected. Well, the problem is,
right.
Of course, it didn't work. And 1932 comes along, and Roosevelt says, I will fix everything. Change is in the air. Change, change, change.
Right.
And he gets elected for 16 years.
Wait a second. That's Obama's slogan.
That was Roosevelt's, too. Roosevelt said,
he took it from Obama? Dang.
No,
yeah.
I'm kidding. What I'm saying is that Roosevelt said he wasn't going to follow Hoover's policies. What he did was he blew them all out of proportion. Unfortunately, for a little while at any rate, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. Then he packed the court. Then there was another. I mean, when you look at the history, the history, let me tell you, is repeating itself almost word for word here. And the deal is that if you don't learn the lessons of history, as George Santayana said, then you are destined to relive them. And this is a classic case, and I'm telling you.
So we're going to hunker down, everybody.
We're going to hunker down. That's right. We're going to hunker down. Because the problem is this time, though, is that they may have, in fact, they may bankrupt the country. They spent a lot of money in the 30s and 40s and everything, but we had so much capital built up that they didn't bankrupt the company. But a country.
Country.
But this time, we have already, you know, looking at anywhere from a, when Reagan took office, we had a $1 trillion deficit. Now it's 10. And just in a couple of years, basically, when you look at this, it's exponential increase. The point
Jimmy's
is that once you have mortgaged the entire wealth of the country, then it's called going bankrupt. And when people won't buy your bonds anymore, when they say, we're not going to take any of them at any price, you know, you can pay us 200% interest, we're still not interested. I mean, how many people today, for instance, would go out and buy Circuit City bonds?
I was just thinking that.
Today, they announced they're going to close all of their stores.
567.
Yeah, they know, up until today, they were still in, quote, bankruptcy proceedings, but we're still going to work our way out of it. And today, they announced, nope, ain't going to work.
Never
Sorry,
mind.
We're going to
liquidate.
Are
there any good deals down there? Maybe we should go check it out.
Well, so, all right, so.
So when a country goes, anyway, countries have gone bankrupt in the past.
And what happens? I mean, what happens when that happens?
It's not, you know, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about that.
All right, we'll save that for the next show.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But I think it's going to happen, and I'll tell you, because there's two things that I see. One is that when you see, I saw Barack speak on Meet the Press on December 7th.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, and one of the things that he said
December 7th.
Yes. Yes, a nice day.
A propitious day.
You need to speak into your mouth if you want to be heard.
A propitious day.
A date which would live in infamy and spoken by FDR, of course. And here's what he said, one of the things he said, which I thought was very telling. He says, we're going to look at all proposals. And when he says that...
Did we send him a proposal?
Well, yeah, the JDS bailout
proposal. The JDS bailout proposal.
Well, but the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, they have looked at everything already. There's nothing they haven't looked at. And so to say that they're going to look at everything means there's no obvious answer, which there isn't, because... There's no good place for them to spend all this money. And then he went into saying how they were going to buy houses or buy bad mortgages and extend mortgage foreclosure, you know, moratorium and all kinds of crazy stuff. I saw renewable energy and, you know,
he just did a big rant on that today again.
Yeah. And you think about it he's basically making a bet with our money that his people are going to pick the winners who would have succeeded in the free market. I mean, I'm sure he's going to get, you know, the best of the best of the best, you know, sir, with honors.
With honors.
You know, but I mean, and that's who it's going to be. You know, it's not going to be the Will Smith. It's going to be Captain America.
Well, the little minor problem is even if they do all this, the money will be distributed politically.
Right.
And that's when it's all said and done, you can sit there and he said, well, we're not going to have the earmarks. We're not going to have the pork barrel. This is really going to be laser targeted to the right place. It's not.
No,
it's going to be the list is Neil Bortz had it put a list up of, I don't know, 20 things or something like that are on the emergency list. Even locally here in Gainesville, they have sent the shovel ready $400 million worth of shovel ready items that they want to do. This is absolute
shovel.
What's shovel ready?
Shovel ready means we could, if you give us the money, we can actually put the shovel in the ground tomorrow.
Okay.
There's no, we've already got it already planned out.
You
it's
got a
already
bunch of
done.
They're waiting with shovels.
We got, yeah, they're standing there. They're trucks,
guys
trucks
are waiting.
The
around.
Trucks are in idle mode, you know, and the guys are just.
Where you want the hole, man?
That's it. So, but I mean, it's a joke. I mean, because it's you know that the money is going to be distributed absolutely for vote getting and nothing else.
Right. And here's my thought, Jimmy. I've thought about this a lot, and there is a right thing for them to do, but they're not going to do it.
Right.
And the reason is because the right thing for them to do would not give them any credit to take.
That's right.
Because the right thing for them to do is just to back off.
Totally.
Let the market react.
Right.
You know, let companies fall as they might or right. survive as they will. And everything would reorganize around lines of strength and actual value. And it would bounce. But nobody would be able to say, we did it.
Right.
And so they're going to, instead, they're going to spend like crazy and hope they get it right.
Well, of course, I can tell you mathematically they have it wrong already.
Well,
I can tell you mathematically they have it
get
wrong.
It right
they can't.
Because they're basically operating without competition in this kind of situation, which means they're not going to adjust as competitive groups would adjust, and they're just not going to come up with anything that would resemble what would come out of a free market.
Well, the other thing is when you realize that many of these plans, for instance, a GM, for instance, today or yesterday announced that, yes, they sure would take the extra $3 or $4 or $5 billion. They have frankly admitted that the government is going to buy what they call toxic assets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, who would do that?
Right.
I mean, who would you, as I say, would you, if Circuit City were to offer you bonds today, where you know, you'd say, screw it, I don't want your product. I'm not even going near your store. If General Motors, I've gone and looked at General Motors cars. Sorry, not interested. Looked at
Chrysler. Hey, it's good enough for Obama.
I understand that, because he's got his new tank Cadillac or whatever.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. But my point is that if we out here in the great unwashed are not willing to invest in the company, why do those 535 people in Washington think, take my money, by force, mind you, at the point of a gun, and say, yes, you will buy their cars, and in fact, you're going to invest in shares of their company, and we're going to invest in a bank, all the banks for you, the banks that are going under. We're going to invest in those banks.
What?
Yes, we're going to take. And in fact, there was an article in today's Wall Street Journal or yesterday's about, is this nationalization of the banks? Well, duh. Yes. If the government takes an equity position.
People are tired of the bank bailouts now.
Well, you could say that. But again, one of the things that government is their glacial in their response to very often.
The people, not the politicians.
I mean, I saw where Dick Armey and those guys finally
right.
got together.
Finally Dick decided, Armey. Got some cojones and said they're going to sue, which is what
to
happened in the 30s.
Out.
Right. It happened in the 30s. People sued and they got, and that's what happened was the Supreme Court from 1934 to 1937 threw out tons of Roosevelt stuff. And Roosevelt was so pissed, he said, I'm going to stack the court with another 7 or 8 people of my people.
And so
we're going to switch the court over to my side
right.
and, you know, screw the court, whatever
he
it is.
He had a hand in appointing everybody by the end there.
But yeah, he did. Well, that's right. And that's why we got Wickard in 1942.
So Dick Armey, unfortunately, Mr. Armey's entire plan sucks.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I took a look at it, and from a legal perspective, I can already tell it's going to flop. And it sucks that they're going to spend so much energy on this thing that really has just no chance of winning. I mean, it's a shot in the dark from hell. I mean, you know, no chance.
It's funny you should mention that because I saw where they were going to do it and I did not read the article.
Yeah, the grounds that they use are just stupid. I mean, right. they're saying it's an improper delegation of authority because of the amount of money that it is, which is just never improper delegation is never turned on amount of money.
Right, I mean, exactly.
They give freaking billions of dollars to anybody.
Right.
And that doesn't matter. What improper delegation is something like where they tell the EPA that they can make a bunch of rules, which they call code, which is really law.
Right.
And like the FEA or the
regulations
FCC.
Regulations and so forth.
Right.
Yeah,
it's all law. And
right.
That's improper delegation, but not this.
But that happens all the time. That's the way they do. That's the way Congress works.
Right, right.
They pass. In fact, we've even since the 14th Amendment, it used to be the amendments would spell out what was going on, and since then they say, and Congress shall have the right to change,
make all proper laws
to enforce this
right
thing. Well, What does that mean?
Yeah, whatever they feel
whatever
like
they
it
want
at
it to mean. I mean, suddenly you've got an amendment to the Constitution that is wide open right. for anything that they want to
wide
do.
Wide open, boy.
That hardly qualifies, as far as I'm concerned, for a legitimate amendment.
Yeah, and you figure if for those improper delegations to the FCC and FAA, if those pass muster, then this is surely going to pass muster.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and of course that's been that way for 50 years, so it's not going to change. You're right. You're right about that. I was hoping it would be a little more theoretical than that, and they could get away with it, but not to be.
Yeah. So the Dick Armey's plan sucks?
Yeah.
Okay. Gene, what's the suckometer say today?
God, that suckometer's just fully pegged to the fully suck position.
Thank you,
hang your
Stitch
dog.
And Gene. Yes, hang your dogs. Yes, for your input on that. Didn't even have to call in.
Hey, we're good.
So like hey, we don't have. You see this Al Franken shit?
Jimmy, you got anything more?
Hold on, I got a couple more things here.
Okay. On the economy?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I did a couple quotes here from the greatest. I had to clip a couple of the great quotes from 2008. I like this one from the Treasury Department. They're talking about the $700 billion, right? Okay. It's not based on any particular data point. We just wanted to choose a really large number.
You know what? I like this. Every time you look at the newspaper, you know, they're talking about the bailout of the bailout of the bailout. Right. I mean, they keep changing it around.
Well, we said in the very first show, I know I said, watch, if this one doesn't work, there'll have to be another one another one.
I mean, you talk about throwing the hats in the air and seeing what comes. Yeah. You know, we're throwing all the papers on the stairs and, you know, the A's are at the top and the B's are at the bottom or whatever. I mean, you know, that's the way we're grading
this
one.
That is an analogy. I'm not sure how it relates
doesn't even,
to
it's in, not right, even exactly. close. It's not even close. I'm just
it's
mouthing off, and I'm
Doan
sober.
Show.
Here was a Donald Luskin quote. It was a tie for number 10, actually. It was the Paul Krugman they gave him. That was the winner, the one about the anyone who says we're in a recession or heading into one, especially the worst one since the Great Depression, is making up his own private definition of recession. And that was the day before Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. But yeah, that was the then the Paul Krugman was there are no atheists in foxholes and there are no libertarians in financial crisis.
That's
ridiculous.
He's being a Keynesian, he's one of these people that says just by virtue of spending the money, doesn't matter what you spend it on.
Right.
If you dig holes and fill them back up again, that's economic
that's
activity.
Work, right?
That's good. That's work.
You know,
it is stunning to think that this guy, A, won the Nobel Prize, and then, I mean, well, as I say, it's the last. And I, to be honest with you, I guess, and we'll talk about this in the next show because you did bring this up. What is the result when the United States goes bankrupt? What does that mean? Good question. I have to figure that out.
Well, yeah. Whoever signed the IOU, I guess, is going to be in trouble. But
you know, I figure that we'll have a slow downward decline with short periods of increase. You know, as certain policies come back into play, or certain people make great efforts to rejuvenate things. But I mean, if things keep going the way that it is, unless the Keynesians are just proven flat wrong.
Well, they've already. It's interesting because there was a kickback after the. There were some people of note in the mid 70s, even as the inflation took off because the money had already been printed, but that said that this stagflation, literally, it could not happen. If you have, I forget exactly how it works, if you have high unemployment, you can't have inflation. Or what, there's some formula that they use. PV equals QT
right.
or something,
yeah,
whatever the hell
that's
it is.
That's the simple one.
We'll put a link to it.
Well, the little minor problem is. One of those numbers can be zero, and they never figured on that. And,
oops.
Yeah, oops. And that's what happened during stagflation. In fact, you had inflation, you had stagnation, and as I say, according to Keynesian
price and velocity,
that could not
equals
quantity of money times something.
Right.
Well, the problem with that formula is real simple. I mean, I can tell you right now what the problem with that formula is.
It sucks.
Well, not only does it suck, but they forgot something, and that is when you take a measurement, you take it at an instant in time. So velocity is either 0 or 1, depending on how you work that formula. It is not 22 times. The fact that the money turns over 10 times or 12 times in a year doesn't matter a hill of beans at an instant. Velocity is...
Yeah. We'll put a link to Jimmy's brain.
It's the acceleration you're looking for.
Look at you guys whipping out the links.
Yeah. But the other thing is I was also noticing that they had a little article that said that, you know, it's tough economic times. Well, the Internal Revenue Service says it will waive late penalties and negotiate payment plans for struggling taxpayers. And they had like all kinds of collection suspensions that they were working on, flexibility for missed payments. home equity adjustments, speeding up levy releases, and expanding its free e-filing
program. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, they're scrambling for every dime they can get their hands on, is what it boils down to.
Absolutely.
I mean, they want it now.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's current consumption. They need the money now, and they're willing to forego anything in the future, and they want the money now. This is exactly symptomatic of what I'm talking about here. It's right down the pike. I want the money today. And I'm willing to forego any future.
Show me
earnings.
The money.
That's right. Show me the money.
Show
all right, Jimmy, you got anything
money.
Else?
We're gonna buy your gold.
Right. Buy gold. Bling, bling.
We're taking a break.
Yeah, we're
come back
we're gonna...
with Al Franken.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
He's going to be a guest on the show.
Actually,
Al Franken.
I hope he will.